I spent a lot of my life inside the opinion industry, and it is an industry. When Bill O'Reilly or Hannity or Combs or those people come on, they are getting good money. Their staffs are getting good money. The programs have advertisers. All the editorialists make pretty good money. And in the case of the courts, opinion is really a big industry. One of the funniest things in the world that I think Bob Twain said was that people have, when it comes to judges, people have a Harry Potter complex. Here's some lawyer who has the political pull to get himself appointed judge. Now, everybody knows, has a low opinion of politics, they have a low opinion of lawyers. But as soon as that guy, same lawyer, puts on a black dress, he suddenly becomes the Constitution of the United States, and everybody actually believes that he is an entirely different person. He is now a capital J judge, issuing capital O opinions. This would be funny if people didn't take it so seriously, but once he puts on that black dress, like Harry Potter, once he puts on his black robe, this politician lawyer is suddenly the highest branch of government. He tells all the elected officials what they can do and what they can't do. He can overrule statewide referenda. And people really do believe that if this guy in a black dress renders a judgment, that is somehow the law. That is somehow something that we mere people are not allowed to question, because then we would be taking the law into our own hands, whereas the law has to be in the hands of some Harry Potter who's wearing a dress. So opinion, to get back to the opinion industry, now in Washington, most of the people you read about make most of their money off of getting grants or direct mail groups. They have their own groups. They have a position in Washington on Capitol Hill or whatever, but they also raise money. And if they lose their jobs or have to change jobs, their real money usually comes from some sort of grants or from sending out panicky mailings for money. This is the way things work. These people are making their living. Now, the average voter says, well, I can't spend all my time on politics because I've got to make a living. Well, what exactly do you think the people in Washington are doing? Well, the problem is the public doesn't think. It's an industry. Now, in an industry, you don't seek abstract truth. In an industry, you position yourself. So Hannity has his job, being little baby Jesus there on the Hannity and Combs show. O'Reilly has an education degree, and he pontificates. And I doubt, and these people get paid just like anybody else. And their interest in abstract truth is quite secondary to the same interest you have, which is your excuse for not getting into politics or not being tied up in politics. You have to make a living, and so do they. Both sides, as I keep pointing out to people, the reason that Whitakerism is so unpopular and are never directly quoted is because Whitakerism is no damn fun. It would kill the whole industry. Take Bill O'Reilly now. He spends a lot of his time exposing the leftism on campuses. And naturally he says, I don't know where this comes from. Well, where it comes from is the fact that social scientists consider themselves intellectuals, and their ideal state is where the intellectuals rule, which is what leftism consists of. They will have a dictatorship of the proletariat, which does not include the proletariat. If you looked at the Soviet Revolution, you'd have real trouble finding anybody, Trotsky, Lenin, or any of those people, who knew one end of a shovel from the other. No, it is a dictatorship of the proletariat. So naturally, and on the question of heredity versus environment, nature versus nurture, it happens that if you list the social sciences, you're listing environment. In other words, the argument is, do genes determine things, or does sociology, government, education, psychology determine things? Well, as it happens, everything you just mentioned is a social science. So naturally, when it comes to nurture versus nature, the universities are nutcase environmentalists. The problem is, of course, that this sort of thing, if anybody said this, they would kill an awful lot of airtime, valuable airtime. If O'Reilly were to talk about the biases of academia for about 5 minutes, he would kill 20 or 30 or 40 hours that he gets to spend on the newest revelation about, gosh whiz, gee whiz, the academic community is biased. On the race question, the fact is that white people, that colored people want to go to white countries. Now, the way that this thing is kept from simply saying that is people say, oh, well, why would that be? Well, the observation comes first. In science, the observation comes first. It happens that the people with white skins are being chased by the people with brown skins. And when an area becomes brown, it turns into what all brown areas turn into, a very bad place to live. And so the people with the brown skins start chasing the people with the white skins again. Well, that's a pretty simple equation. Because where the whites go is where the good society is. Now, you may say, well, how do you justify that? Or how can you say that? I say it because I see it. Same reason one says something that may not, the same reason, for example, that as the cardinal is still Galileo, you can't change the whole authority, you can't challenge the whole authority of the Bible by looking into the sky with a telescope, or as they called it, with a tube with a piece of glass in each end. Well, as a matter of fact, we did change the biblical interpretation with a piece of plastic with a piece of glass in each end. In other words, the observation is what matters. You come to the explanations later, but at this moment, what we have is a racial situation, which is the one thing nobody can talk about because all those explanations about why the respectable conservatives are not racists, and even the scientific racists, they get tied down on IQ and all that stuff. And I'm sort of sitting here looking at them and saying, look, gang, the color of the people going in is brown. The place becomes brown. And then the whites have moved somewhere else. The whites set up a decent society, and the brown people try to chase them down. That's the reality. Well, not only is that heresy, but it is also a killer as far as most of these hideously complicated programs where they talk about, gosh, I can't, as O'Reilly says, well, it's simply not true that one child is born more capable than another. He says that over and over and over again. That's pretty silly, but the thing is, how much could he talk about it if he didn't try to explain everything away in his education degree terms of it's all the parental neglect and so forth and so on? That makes lots of interesting discussion. And if you say, well, it's just genes, what can you do about it? That sort of kills the discussion. So we have to go back to the rather simple fact that I am, of course, I come at it from a different point of view. And so I'm sort of bemused by all these people acting as if the opinion industry, a multi-billion-dollar industry, somehow was aimed toward simple truths. The last thing they want is simple truth. What they need is complication, and nobody gets paid for example, making correct predictions. Now, the proper attitude when any liberal makes a proposal is to say, look, the last 14 proposals you made back when you said that criminals were just victims of society, every time you made a proposal, it was a disaster. So why are we sitting here listening to you again? You're never going to hear any conservatives say that. You'd kill the program. So let's get back to the basic point. We're not dealing with scholars or objective commentators. News and commentary, particularly commentary, is certainly a manufactured product. When you produce a manufactured product, you don't sit around saying, ah, what would be the ideal automobile in terms of some sort of objective qualifications? If you're going to stay in business, you're going to produce the automobile that people want to buy. It's called market research. The opinion industry is exactly the same as any other manufacturing industry. And people just can't get away from this sort of idealistic idea that these commentators are otherworldly creatures, like the lawyers who put on black dresses and suddenly become objective law that we mere people can't challenge. Of course, the document they use starts with, we the people of the United States of America. That's the only authority it has. But they then say that the biggest important thing is that the people not take the law into their own hands, which is exactly what the preamble to the Constitution of the United States does. But that's a Whitakerism. Nobody's going to notice that. You can talk endlessly if you talk around that the United States government, the only declaration of purpose we have and the only declaration of authority we have is that we, the people of the United States, are taking the law into our own hands. So naturally what we ended up doing was getting a bunch of judges, a Harry Potter complex, to quote Bob Twain again. He throws on this robe and suddenly this document, he becomes this document, he becomes the people. It's a kind of like most things, it ends up being ironical. But everybody sits around and groans and sweats over how important these positions are. And if you want to make a living in the opinion industry, you don't sit around figuring out what the objective truth is. What you do is you position yourself inside the present manufacturing industry called opinion. Now, one would have to actually stop for a little while and think about this before commenting. And that is a bit much to ask people who take the Harry Potter complex seriously. But the simple truth is simple and it's true. But then again, it's simple and true that the people ought to take the government back. But they have other things to do. Everybody says, well, I can't spend all my time fighting to take the government back or risking my livelihood to make controversial statements. And they are completely oblivious of the fact that the opinion industry is in exactly the same position. This is an industry, gang. There's money involved. There's what I call a Whitakerism, which is just looking at things that are so obvious that we don't even consider them. Like the thing about the color of the skin. That's the observation, that's the reality. Same thing is true. Again, this is a Whitakerism. We're dealing here with an industry and a bunch of people who are trying to make a living, just like you are. It's not a conspiracy in the overt sense of the word. It's a conspiracy sort of in the same sense that musicians may not produce the best music that they would like to produce because they have to produce music for the market. If you turn around and say musicians are not producing what they consider to be the best music, well, of course they're not. They're producing for the market. The same thing's true of opinion. So let's get real. The reason that Whitakerisms don't sell is because they would ruin the whole game that is presently being played. Let's take another Whitakerism. We are allowed to attack whites all we want to, of course, in the opinion industry. But we can't offend minorities. And the one thing that would offend the minorities most would be for you to say that whereas whites can take criticism, non-whites will blow their gourd if you say anything unpleasant about them. Now, the reason that you can't say that whites can take criticism and coloreds cannot be criticized because they will blow their gourd is because non-whites will blow their gourd if you say that. That's a Whitakerism. That's what we all know. So, when the question of race comes up and white people talk about the disappearance of the white race and the fact that all our immigration policy is aimed at solving the racial problem by pouring the third world only into white countries, into all white countries, and any white person says, you're doing away with our race, he gets arrested in Europe and loses his job here. And the fact is, this is because colored people will blow their gourd if you make that sort of statement. Now, if Africa were being subjected to the same policy of massive immigration by the rest of the world into black countries and only into black countries, white people would be expected to object to this genocide. But it never occurs to anybody that any non-white would object to the same policy against us. This is, of course, patronizing in the extreme, because colored people are not morally capable of being concerned about this, about other races. So the reason that we don't repeat the obvious cliches is because the obvious cliches are true. That is a Whitakerism. The problem with the Whitakerism is, if you state it, you will be thrown out of the industry that manufactures opinions. The non-white Gentile segment of the population will get you. So, the problem is that the cliches are true, and therefore cannot be repeated. That is the way an industry works. Okay, now that we're used to the rather obvious fact that the opinion industry is a manufacturing industry, does somebody who is genuinely interested in better automobiles deal with the automobile industry? Well, one thing he doesn't do is sit around and bitch about the fact that they keep producing automobiles for the market. They leave it to the Bill O'Reillys and this sort of people to bitch about SUVs and all that sort of thing that people want. What I do in opinion manufacturing is what you do in any other kind of manufacturing. I put out ideas that people can use, and they get used. They're used in their own way inside the industry. If you have a good idea about how to make a better automobile, it will have to wait until some manufacturer needs the idea, not until some manufacturer decides that they want objectively to have a car that gets more mileage with less pollution, but when they find a way to sell on the market the idea that a car that uses less gas and is more environmentally friendly, once they can sell it, they'll sell it. But sitting around bitching about the fact that they're not producing the right things is not going to get anybody very far. Although, again, that's an industry. Sitting around bitching about the fact that people produce things for the market is an industry unto itself. People get paid for that. Scientists for the public interest, they have full-time employees who run around doing just that for a living. But, again, that's an industry too. So what I do is I produce ideas, and they generally get used. For example, my concept to Wordism. I was talking about that. I can always tell the delay time between when I start talking about it, then it gets into some people read it or talk about it, and then it gets into conversation, and then someone takes these ideas and invents them and translates them into, because he's got to write a column the next day. He's got to have something to say. Wordism, for instance, National Review, about 2 years after I started talking about it, it's about the right delay, they started talking about the propositional state, which is the same thing as Wordism. That they said America, as Lincoln said, is based on the proposition that all men are created equal, not on the we the people, but on this proposition that all men are created equal. Now, they were sort of on two sides of this, and they did not include the rest of what I said. First of all, to get it away from me, they called it propositional instead of wordism. Secondly, and they weren't aware it came from me anyway, and secondly, I have pointed out repeatedly that a wordist state based on a set of words or a proposition, cannot be free. The reason, and this is just logical, if your country, your citizenship, is not based on your race or your culture, but it is based on a proposition, like all men are created equal, or Karl Marx's book, or some version of Christianity, then treason has to be defined in terms of that proposition. In other words, anybody who does not share that proposition is not an American. So a Mexican with the right attitudes, religious attitudes, and so forth, according to National Review, is a real citizen of the United States, even if he comes here illegally, whereas somebody like me, whose family has been here since 1609, is not an American if we cease to believe in whatever. And remember, propositions are changeable. Whatever the latest interpretation, Harry Potter, the judge up there in his black robe, has come up with. So treason is in terms of words, a proposition. Well, if treason is the wrong proposition, how can you allow freedom of speech? There's no room for the wrong propositions. We have David Urban facing a 20-year prison sentence in Austria. And no one even suggests he ever did anything violent. He disagreed about his history. He disagreed about the number of Jews killed in the Holocaust. Not Jews killed in the Holocaust, but the number. Besides, it's not a question to someone who believes in free speech, it's not a question of whether what he did was good, bad, indifferent, or racist or non-racist. Point is, a man shouldn't be thrown into jail for disagreeing on history. But remember, a multiracial, multicultural state, which all white countries now, remember, all white countries are now officially multiracial states, they're based on nothing but a set of words, a set of propositions. They cannot allow treasonable propositions to be spoken. So, National Review, of course, they took what they wanted of my idea, and I am fairly confident that the rest of it will come out in other places. But again, all I can do is drop my ideas in and watch people use them. And I do. I sit here. It's kind of fun because I've been doing this for about 40 years, and I can tell when somebody is quoting, essentially quoting me, third hand, fifth hand, because my ideas are, in fact, highly useful in certain places, and they're not going to do all their own thinking. So I drop my ideas into a machine that manufactures opinion. I have learned to get a lot less since I actually got into industry for a living. I have gotten a lot less righteous or infuriated about it. And if somebody pays me to get infuriated about it, I don't need money anymore, but I sure could. I could get all upset about it, but the fact is, it's exactly like getting upset with the automobile industry for producing the automobiles that people want to buy. You produce the opinion that people want to buy. This is pretty unromantic. It doesn't have the sales appeal that conspiracy theories do, but guess what? Conspiracy theories and industry too. People make their living off of them. So all I'm saying is let's get a little perspective here. Let's realize that we're dealing with an opinion machine, the opinion industry. This is Bob Whitaker, the Untrained Eye. Hope I'll be talking to you again.